Looking yesterday into the Word of God, and yesterday was kind of introductory, and today is going to continue along that line of introduction, because we're looking at praying in the name. And so in order for us to effectively pray in the name, we have to look at what does name mean, what's the implication of that name. If there's anything that the enemy has tried to do over the years, is to undermine the import, the royalty, the authority that's at the back of the name. It can't do anything about the effectiveness of the name, but it can do something about the consciousness of man about the name. The name is all it is meant to be. But our grasping, our understanding, the import of that name goes a long way when it comes to getting results in the place of prayer, when it comes to living the Christian life. Jesus did not leave us comfortless. Jesus did not leave us as orphans. Jesus gave us the use, the right of attorney to exercise authority, power, and prayer in his name. So it is as we study God's word and the revelation and understanding of that name begins to dawn upon us, we get more results in our daily life. We begin to experience greater success in the place of prayer. One of the things I've always said is the fact that it is impossible to live the Christian life. The Christian life is impossible for man to live, because man wasn't designed to live the Christian life. Man was meant to yield to Christ on the inside for Christ to flow out. So we're not meant to live the Christian life. We're meant to yield to Christ on our inside for that life. Paul said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. So everything Paul did, he did on the basis of the revelation that he had of the risen Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 1, let's start from Ephesians 1 tonight. We're looking at the name, the import of the name. Ephesians 1. And the reason for our teaching, and our comprehension of that name. Verse 15, Ephesians 1 from verse 15. I'm going to read all the way down. It says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who are, or towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. I want you to notice that verse 20 says, which he wrought in Christ. That's the extinguishing of his power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in every place, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, above every name that is named, not only in this world or in this dispensation, but also in that which is to come. In other words, as far as this dispensation of man is concerned, there is no greater name, there is no higher honor, there's no greater glory than that which is stored up in the name of Jesus. In other words, even in the world to come, which we call the glory realm, which we call the world of new creation, which some people call the new Jerusalem, it says even in that world to come, this name will still hold the same key, the same power, the same standing, the same majesty. Hebrews chapter 1 also. Hebrews chapter 1. Okay. I'm more calm tonight. Amen. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners speak in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So we see the name mentioned again that here, that Jesus has by inheritance, and inheritance belongs to sons. So when you see the word inheritance, it's referring to the fact that he, being made a son and declared to be the Son of God with power, he has obtained a more excellent name than the angels. Bible says, God who has sundry times in diverse manners, speak unto fathers by the prophets, as in these last days. We examine the fact that in different revelations, at different times, God revealed himself through specific names, which he spoke to the fathers. He appeared unto Abraham as El Shaddai, the double-breasted one, the God who is more than enough. So we notice that as far as name is concerned, in the heart of God, the names that God revealed to people, or God gave to people about himself, was a revelation of his character, a revelation of his personality and ability. Very important. So a name is meant to convey character, ability, and personality. That's the plan of God. So the revelation that Abraham had of God, that God changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, was the God who is more than sufficient. He introduced himself to Abraham and told him, I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. Why was God revealing himself that way? It is the revelation of the name of God that actually conveys to man an understanding of God's character, God's ability, and God's personality. So at different dispensations, at different times, God gave a revelation of himself by mentioning certain names. We also saw that when God appeared to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, we saw that yesterday, that he spoke to Moses that, Moses asked the question, you are sending me on an assignment, you are asking me to deliver the nation of Israel. When I stand before them, they will ask me, by what authority, by what power, who has sent you? In other words, who is giving you the authority and who is backing you up to carry out this assignment? He says, when they ask you, the best way I can express myself is to tell them, I am sent you. Tell them I am sent you. And that's a tremendous statement, really, because it's difficult to define. The I am means that the self-existent one. The one who can exist by himself. Tell them that the I am that I am sent you. That is, I am who I am, and I will be all I will be. That's what it means. It means the one who can do all things he wants to do by himself without assistance. Hallelujah. It's serious. What God was trying to convey to Moses first, and by extension to the children of Israel, is for them to have an idea of his ability to redeem them. I am who I am, and I will be all I will be. That's what he was saying. It was defined to them in the light of the one who can fulfill all his counsel by himself. So in that revelation to Moses, we see a glimpse of redemption foreshadowed in the deliverance of the nation of Israel. That was God saying that I will be the one that will redeem. I will be the one that will pay the price. I will be the one that will stand in place of sinners. I will be the one that will judge, and I will be the one that will be judged. I will be the accused, and I will be the one that will justify the accused. I am that I am. And I will be all I will be. Hallelujah. Look at Exodus 6. Because when we look at some of these passages, we begin to understand the import, and the majesty behind that name. Exodus chapter 6. Remember in Exodus 3, God had told Moses. Then he gave a further understanding to Moses. Verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, now thou shalt see what I will do to Pharaoh. If you want to understand the background, Moses went to the nation of Israel and spoke to them about what God said. And they got angry with Moses. The suffering was much. Says, since you came, they've doubled up our punishment. Go away, you are the one who sent you. So Moses also came back to God angry. I told you I was a shepherd. I told you I'm content with sheep. I told you, let me alone. I'm a samurai, I can't talk. But you said I should go. Since I've gone, nothing has changed. In fact, the people are suffering more. What exactly do you want me to do? Then God spoke to him further. Then Lord said unto Moses, now thou shalt see what I will do to Pharaoh. Before I will do what I will do, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spoke unto him and said, I am the Lord. That's Adonai. As the real word Adonai. I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, or the name of El Shaddai, the one who saw him. But by the name of Jehovah, that's the same word as he says, I am the Lord, Adonai, was I not known unto them. Hallelujah. So what he was saying was that the dimension of my operations through you is different from the dimensions that was in the operation when I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All they needed to know, all they could handle, was the fact that I'm the God who is more than sufficient. But now the dimension of that I am the Lord, the deliverer, the redeemer, they've not known me in that dimension. So he began to reveal himself to Moses because of the nature of the assignment that Moses was about to carry out to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Say, but by my name Adonai, was I not known unto them? So we can conclude and say that the revelation that we have of God's character, his ability, his personality, is what determines how much we can enjoy of the blessings of God. Our revelation of it. God gave a fresh revelation to Moses. And we said yesterday that the different names that God was called in the scriptures are a revelation of God's personality and ability revealed through the names that he gave to different people. We saw that he spoke to the nation of Israel that I will allow none of these sicknesses to come upon thee which are permitted to come upon the Egyptians. And so they call them Rapha. Actually, it's not Jehovah Rapha. That's double. That's almost saying the same thing twice. It is Rapha. That means the one who immunizes you against diseases. It's more than the Lord your healer. That's a weak translation. A better translation, the one who ensures that none of the diseases. That's the fulfillment of Psalm 91. 1,000 shall fall by your side. 10,000 by your right hand, but they will not come near you. No evil shall come near your dwelling place. He immunizes you. He keeps you safe from harm. Hallelujah. That's what Rapha means. So he went on and showed himself as Shama, the ever-present one, the one who is always, not will be there, always there. Always there, never absent, always present. The one who is there before the need arises. He revealed himself as Jireh, not Jehovah Jireh, Jireh. There was a place called that. But the reason was because the idea was conveyed to them that the one who makes provision before the need arises, the one who has seen in advance where your needs, area of your need will be, and has gone in advance to make adequate provision. David spoke about him as Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. The one who guides you in life and sees that your steps are ordered. Sikenu, your righteousness. So that when you are in trouble and you require mercy because of your own actions, he says, I am standing here as your righteousness. I'm standing here and righteousness is imputed to your account so that you can be justified from challenges that you are facing. So God was simply doing one thing, revealing different aspects of himself. Hallelujah. Now John's Gospel chapter 1. Because as we go on this journey, as we begin to see more and more the fulfillment of the plan and purpose of God through the life and the ministry of Jesus. Verse 18. See what it says, verse 18. John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 18. No man had seen God at any time. Did you see that? No man had seen God at any time. Question. Who did Moses see? Who did Abraham see? Because just so you know, one has seen God at any time. But who did Moses see? I thought Moses saw God. I thought Abraham saw God. He said, but no man has seen God at any time. So what they saw was the shadow, a similitude, a pattern. Even Moses, who spoke to God face to face according to scriptures, he saw a similitude. What he experienced was that speeches, not directly. It says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared or revealed or made him known. Hallelujah. He has declared, he has revealed, and he has made him known. And he made him known in the 3.5 years of ministry who God really is. That's what he came to do. So when Bible says God who has only time in diverse manner, speaking time past to the fathers to the prophets, he has in this last day spoken to us by his Son. The word spoken there is not just a reference to the Gospels. The word spoken is that he has come to reveal in character, in conduct, and in speech. He has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, or he has inherited all things, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image or the exact replica of his person. The Bible says, exact replica of his person. Hallelujah. Exact replica of his person. So when we have this at the background, we'll begin to understand when Jesus said, in my name. We saw yesterday also, John chapter 14, that greater works than this, the works that I do shall you do, but greater works than this shall you do, because I go to the Father. When he spoke about his name, John chapter 14, look at verse 12. You know, we're studying God's word as well as we're going to spend some time to pray, but then this is the background. John's Gospel chapter 14, it's important that we, are you there? Very clearly I say unto you, he that believeth on me. What does it mean to believe on him? What does it mean to believe on him? I want to see if you were following yesterday. What does it mean to believe on him, those who came yesterday? Sorry? To be born again, to become a new creation. Verily I say, he that believeth on me. He wasn't addressing the audience that stood before him. He wasn't speaking about an experience that was available to those who were in him that day. He was speaking about an experience that will be available later on. So John's Gospel chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, 16, 17 were the last sayings of Jesus, which were primarily referring to what will happen after he has been glorified. So you hear me saying that, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, or who becomes a new creation, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than this. By that expression greater, he is saying what I did when I was physically on the earth is one dimension, but there's a new dimension that will be added to the one who becomes a new creation or who believes on me. So when he says greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So we know because I go unto my Father is a portable way of speaking about his glorification. Because the pathway of going to the Father is through the cross. I was going to go through the cross. So I go unto my Father is talking about when it will be possible for the new creation to be a reality. He's speaking of our time. He that believeth on me, or he that has become a new creation, the works that I do. So when he was physical upon the earth, we define the fact that he was primarily the shepherd of Israel. While he was in his physical body, it was when he went to the cross that he became a gift to the whole world. So when the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, the giving of his only begotten son wasn't at Jesus' birth. The giving was at Jesus' what? Death. His burial and resurrection. That's when he became the sacrifice for sin for the whole world. So the first 3.5 years, there were teachings, there were things he said, there were things he did that were primarily, Israel was the primary focus. So by the time you go through the teachings in the Gospels towards the latter part, he began to speak about the new creation, which was beyond the nation of Israel. He was speaking about the whole world. This sign shall follow those who believe. Who are those who believe? Those who are new creations. So instead of reading those that believe, you can slide in the new creation. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go to the Father. So go to the Father is to be glorified. So one of the greater works Jesus was referring to wasn't just salvation of souls. The greater works would mean works that exceeded what he would do when he was physically located in one place in the human body. And one of the things that he couldn't do that we can do is that we can speak in tongues. It means speaking in tongues is part of the greater works. It is a greater work, greater works, plural. Greater works, plural. He couldn't get any man saved when he was here, but we can get men saved now. Those are greater works. And he says those things will be available in my name. So we understand from that verse of scripture that the name of Jesus can't simply be Jesus. Because when he was born, he was called Jesus. But when he says those who believe on me or in my name, it was refined to the fact that his name will carry a different import when he goes to the Father than he carried when he was physically among them. Remember he said in John chapter 16, it is necessary or expedient to advantage that I go away. If I go not, the Comforter won't come. Let me rephrase it. The Comforter won't come is another way of saying you cannot become a new creation. All these things, they are hidden, but they are there. Because in my name, the Spirit will be sent in my name. What is the purpose of the Spirit to indwell you? What does the Spirit indwelling mean? You are a new creation. That's what it means. So it is expedient, necessary for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. What's the primary purpose of the Comforter? To make you a new creation. Because the word coming there refers to the way it will be in you in a dimension he has never operated in before. It will be in you to live in you, and it will be with you forever. And it says it will happen in my name. It will happen because I go to the Father. So I go to the Father, and it will happen in name. They are synonymous. Hallelujah. They are synonymous. They are synonymous. Look at John chapter 14 again. Verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. If somebody gives you a blank check, what's the first thing you need to do before you go and cash the check? Before you cash the check, you fill the check. Before you fill the check, you consult the person that gave you the check to know what is permitted or what is permissible. Isn't that so? Look at what you, and whatsoever, this is serious. Don't put a condition that you didn't put there. Whatsoever. So there is a connection between I go on to my Father and whatsoever. Whatsoever can be measured by whatever happened when he went to the Father. Remember, he couldn't go back to the Father the way he came to the womb of a woman. He had to go back to the Father by the way of the cross. So he must have accomplished something from the cross to the throne. It was what he accomplished that the Bible refers to, I go to my Father. And in my name, or in that day when I arrive at the Father's side, I won't have the same standing or the status I have now. I will have a different status and different standing, and my name will mean something different because I will have accomplished something unique that no man has ever accomplished before. Glory to God. So Acts chapter 2 verse 8 said, he being by the right hand of God exalted, glory to God, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. He being by the right hand of God exalted. I go to my Father. Is that what we say, that he being by the right hand of God exalted? So Jesus knew before he went to the cross what will happen after he resurrects. He knew. He knew the implication. He knew what he will accomplish. So he was saying, listen carefully. Some of you are glad about the import of my name now. And believe me, because if we don't separate the difference between what his name meant when it was physically upon the earth and what it means now, we won't know what we have in the name. Because what he is saying to us in that verse 13, and whatsoever, the word add is a continuation of the statement. What was the first statement? He that believeth on me, the works that I do. So you will heal the sick. You will cast out devils. You will raise the dead. You will perform miracles. Then that says greater works than this. So in addition to what you have just done, there are some other things you will do also. And this is because I go to my Father. Let me put it another way, so you get it. If Jesus is saying, while he was still on earth, that there are greater things to do, and he was referring to his own works, that there are works that are greater than this, and now you were only able to do those works when I go to the Father, what it means therefore is that he's standing. Listen carefully, don't let your mind blow. The implication is this: when I go to my Father, which is another phrase for when I am exalted, you'll be able to do what? You'll be able to do what? Greater works than the one he physically did when he was man. That means that if what he accomplished by seeing my Father's right hand, the standing that he now had, and the new question that came into existence, which is a testimony to what he has accomplished, it means therefore that what Jesus can accomplish now by reason of his status where he sits is what the new creation can accomplish now. And what the new creation can accomplish is far beyond what Jesus could accomplish when he was physically upon the earth. Because the new creation is still superior. Aha, now listen, don't choke. The new creation is still superior to the way Jesus was when he was physically upon the earth. The new creation is. Don't say blasphemy here. Don't say heresy. Just settle down. Let your mind. Because it wants to show you what is in the name. Because the next time you mention, you won't be using it to cut cake at the wedding. That you will use it for the way it's meant to be used. We use it knowing what is at the back of it. That you just mentioned the name that was given to the first man to taste spiritual death. The first man to escape the clutches of the grave. The first man to paralyze principalities and powers. The first man to come out reborn. The first man to be spoken to by God, sit down at my right hand. You know what that means? In his status before he went to the cross, God could even tell him, sit down at my right hand at that time. He couldn't. Was his name effective on the earth? Yes. Look at Luke's Gospel chapter 10. I've not even touched the outline for today, but the Lord is praised. Luke's Gospel chapter 10. Let's see what Jesus said. Let's read from verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Notwithstanding, is this rejoicing, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Something I wanted to read to you. Okay, yeah, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, look at what he said. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Did you see that? His name had enough authority to cast out devils. The sick were healed in that name. Okay? In chapter 9 of this Luke, I think verse 49, the Bible speaks about the fact that they saw a man doing the same things in the name of Jesus. Disciples told Jesus, we saw a man casting out devils, but he's not one of us, he's not following us, he's not in our club. Shall we forbid him? Jesus said, no, don't forbid him. There's nobody who will use my name in that way who will be against him. It was not against us, for us. So his name had import. But the import he was speaking about in John chapter 14 is now different. It's of a higher order. Here's what I'm saying. The new creation is not primarily casting out devils. It's a master of demons. When he paralyzed principalities and powers, you paralyzed principalities and powers. Because he did it as you, because you were in him that time. When he rose, he rose. He rose with him. When he died as you. When you rose, you rose. When he rose with him. And you as he quickened, who were once dead in sins and what trespasses. We were quickened together. We were raised together. We were made to sit together. So when he says, in my name is not J-E-S-U-S. In my name is the status and the standing of the new creation. In my name is the circumference of the authority that the new creation has, which is far above all principalities and powers. Do you see how absurd it is for a believer to be trying to make heaven? You want to make heaven. You just downgraded the new creation. You want to make heaven. And you are called the new creation. And the glory of heaven is in you. Then you want to make heaven. You think it doesn't sound? It's because what we've been taught has been different. So we are here struggling to become citizens of the country that we already are part of. He calls us ambassadors. We are trying to be citizens. Can you see this is a problem? You are an ambassador, an emissary of the Most High God, a representation of the new creation. Twice born man has tasted dead and hell has vomited him. Then you are trying to make, you have done all the going to hell you'll ever do. You have visited and hell gave way. Hallelujah. And now the glory of God is tabernacled within you. You are the new creation. The name belongs to you. When you appear, is a name that appears. That's what the name is not. Oh, glory to God. The name is not J-E-S-U-S. That's where that's what we're taught. And so we use the name to chase away bad dreams. And he has his place. But if you understand that the name means more than it means in the authority vested in me as a new creation, in the resurrection of the Holy One, the first man to come out of spiritual death, and the power that set him at the Father's right hand, which also sat me also. I forbid these things to be. That's what the name of Jesus means. And what it means. When it says greater works than he shall do. So whatsoever you shall ask. That one asked there is not prayer. There is talking about you make a demand. So I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I command all demonic activities in this place to cease. So whatsoever you are demanding in my name, the reason why you are confident of results and you are not playing a guess game, let's see if you work. It has worked already. How many of you go to the bank with a check and you are hoping money will be there? There's trouble. Something is wrong with you. Or you're thinking, you went to the bank, I will write the check and see whether they will pay me. But that's what we sometimes do in prayer. That's what we do with the name. He said, whatsoever you shall ask, you demand to be your right in my name. That's why in Acts chapter 3, before James and John, Peter and John could pray, they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. They had not yet prayed. And they saw the man sitting at the Beautiful Gate. And Peter said, silver and gold I have not. I don't know if John has. But I know what I don't have. I'm not going to account for him. I don't have silver and gold. But this is something I have. It belongs to me. I don't need to pray to check if it will work. It always works. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It means to make you walk. It's far easier than to get him to come out of the grave. If he's out of the grave, you will walk today. That's what it means. He made a demand in the name. It wasn't prayer. Did you hear him say, Father, I pray? No, it wasn't prayer. He said, in the name. He went to another place. He saw believers there. He saw a man called Annas, who had been begging for a while. He just went and said, Annas, Jesus Christ, make the whole. Arise and make your bed. He knew something about the name. You can imagine for the first 10, 15 years, the only message Peter preached was the resurrection. What do you think he'd be conscious of? I wasn't preaching tithes. He may not have gotten that. But those who did got it. He wasn't preaching tight. He wasn't fighting social media battles over tight. An offering. He wasn't discussing guests that preachers were flying. He wasn't busy about doctrinal correctness. He was busy preaching the resurrection of Jesus. As a gospel, he was focused on the gospel. So power, raw power was in manifestation at all times. Because that power is in the name. It's in the name. So he said, in my name is all the authority that is enthroned in the Godhead. You know, do you know there's only one passage of scripture that speaks about in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then we think that is speaking about three different persons. I won't go that far in that area. But I just want you to see something. Look at Matthew chapter 28. So you see what he's saying. Because sometimes we are elevating the name of Jesus above all. And we say, are you not saying the name of Father doesn't mean anything? Oh, it does. Are you saying the name of the Son doesn't mean anything? Are you saying the name of Spirit doesn't mean anything? Oh, it does. But the question is, what was he saying in Matthew chapter 28? Glory to God. Oh, Lord, help us to see like we should see. To know like we should know. Thank you for the spirit of liberty. We will never remain the same again. Thank you for the authority and the power that is contained in this name. Glory to your name forever. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. When he says all, there's no more power left. No more power left in heaven, no more power left on earth. So if anybody tells you there's this power, he said, all power. All means all, less none. All power. If anybody tries to do something against you, they say, all power has been given unto me. He was about to say something to them. He was about to enable them. He was about to release them. He was about to, so to speak, ordain them. So when he said all power is given, it wasn't a boast. It was because of what he was about to say. All power in heaven and on earth is given unto me. That means whatever you are about to pray for, expect results. Whatever you want to do upon the earth, expect results, because all power is given unto me. He now says, go ye therefore. Glory to God. Why are you going? All power is backing me up. is backing me up. Go ye therefore. Why? All power. That's why we can go to the Abalis den. We have all power. He thinks he has power. We know we have power. There's a difference. When he consults his idols, we laugh. An idol is nothing, but Jesus is everything. Your mind is no longer bamboozled. You are no longer afraid. You are fearless. You know all power. You know the one that said all power, that he has never lied. In the same way God appeared to Moses and said, I am, I sent you. Tell them, I am the I am, I sent you. He spoke to them when they were asking him. Jesus told them in John chapter 4, he said that, listen, where I go, you know. And the way you know, Philip said, the way we know, Bahu. Show us the way. So speaking parables, said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He used that same word. I am that I am. I am the way to the Father. I am the truth about the Father. I am the very life of the Father. He was telling them who he was. It wasn't a boast. Have I been so long with you, Philip, and yet you don't recognize me? He that has seen me will see the Father. No. He that has seen me has seen the Father. As I was, it means there is no more of the Father you can see outside of me that you have seen. All that the Father is, you can see it in me. He said, in case you are leaning upon the senses and you cannot believe revelation, if you don't believe what I have said, at least believe for the very work's sake. That's what he was saying. So he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You notice that this was never repeated again anywhere. Not in the Acts, not anywhere. Because the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost is the name of Jesus. That's the name they answer to. The Father answers to the name. The Spirit answers to the name. It's the Spirit of Christ. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So it's still the name of Jesus. And Father answers to. Hallelujah. Let me shock you a little bit. The prophecy about Jesus is coming in Isaiah chapter 9. Look at Isaiah chapter 9. So you will know what you have. It should be shocking you when you wake up. How can you be having nightmares? You are a nightmare to the enemy. You give him a headache. You're jumping around every day and rejoicing. It's a headache to him. He cannot do what has been done. He cannot do what has been done. You are no longer among those looking for victory. You are victory personified. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your Father, the Father laughs through you every day. Every day, he's always laughing through you. Glory to God. Isaiah, verse 6. See what it says. Remember what I said earlier. I am that I am. And I will be all that I will be. I am whatever you need me to be. I am self-existing. I can do all these things by myself. So he says, unto us a child is born. This is God being born as a man. So part of I am that I am is that if I need to become a man to save men, I will be a man. And I will not just be a man, I will be the Son of Man. So he says, unto us a child is born. So he became a man. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name. Do you see, it doesn't say his names. His name, not names, his name. So everything is about to say here is his name. If his name means revelation of his personality, ability, and who he is, then it's not names, it is name. And he's speaking about the Son who was born, the Son who was given, and his name said, his name shall be called Wonderful. That's the miracle worker. Counselor, that's the name he gives to the Spirit. So here Jesus representing the miracle worker is representing the Spirit. Let's read them. The mighty God. But it's the Son. The everlasting Father. Sorry. Wait. But you say it's the Son. Did you not say that it's the Son? But this is the everlasting Father. It's not. I told you there's only one called the Father. He said, I'm still the one they are calling that name. He said, Akitunde is me. Olabisi is me. James is me. Erickson is me. See, are those your names? I'm still the same person. They are all my name. You know, when we name children, it's very interesting the way it happens, because particularly if the first child, there's competition about the number of names. If you're never careful, you love nice, like, how much did you? Did you not give three names there? We are giving four names. What's that? Which name did you give? Have you collected grandma's list on that side? Grandpa's list on the other side. What about grandma? By the time the child wakes up, he has 12 names. So 14 names. Then, miraculously, the parents are calling him only one or two. Then the mother will now come and say, where's Olabisi? And the boy is wondering, who is Olabisi? He says, is that not your name? Is that not your name? So you have not been called this child, this name that I gave this child. And the guy is like, it's interesting. So my name is Adedotun. I didn't even know until today. Because there's competition on how many names the child will even have. And the parents that gave the campus, they never forget the name. Have you noticed they never forget the name? If every time they are asking the parent on the phone, it is the name that they gave, not the name you are calling. My mother-in-law still asks for Sharon every day now. If she had not been asking by that name, I would have forgotten she's called that name. I says, hey, how's Oluwakemi? I say, hey, Kemi. Yes, which Kemi? We don't want to do that. It's the name we don't even call her at all. In the same way, Jesus is a revelation of the Father, the express image of his person. If you have seen him, you have seen the Father. The Bible says, and he pleased God that in him should all fullness. So if you see Jesus, that's the Father. If you see him, that's the Spirit. Also, that's what it means. Hallelujah. That's what it means. That's the implication of that name. Everlasting Father. But you said he's called Wonderful. You say he's Counselor, which was only for the Spirit. But you are now saying Mighty God. But he said he was a Son. Yes, I mean Everlasting Father. Okay, but is it Father? I say, I mean Prince of Peace. You wanna? Oh, Nikata Benny. He alone. That tells you that all the personalities of the Godhead find expression in Christ Jesus. So when he was teaching and preaching, he wasn't speaking for another. He had seen me as seen the Father. The works that I do, it is the Father that dwells in me that does the works. No man ever spoke like he spoke. He laid down rules, laws. He redefined Moses' law for us. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye. But now I say unto you, oh my goodness. Because he was the author and the finisher of everything. He said, Moses heard these things in dark speech. Let me tell you what it really means. What the Father heart really is. The Father is not after revenge or retaliation. The Father retaliates by love. He began to teach them, said, you have heard this, but now I say unto you. He was redefining. He said, you have not even kept. Some of them were like, okay, tell us this. Is it not written in the law of Moses that he that committed adultery? He said, is that what Moses said? That's not what Moses meant to. Let me tell you what he meant. He that so much as looks at the woman, everybody run away. All the Pharisees who are too far to see, Sadducees who are too sad to see, everybody disappears, because that definition, he brought it back up to the standard to show that no man can accomplish it except him. He said, Moses didn't mean you commit. You are speaking about act. I'm telling you about intent, your heart. He said, he that has even looks, just look. You are God. You have committed. So make matters worse, it was one who said, if you break one, you broke all. So you only stole. You are a fornicator, you are a murderer, you are a thief, it's everything you have become. If you understand that principle, you now understand how in his death, he prayed for every sin, including homosexuality. He paid for the kidnapper, he paid for the murderer. He paid for every single sin when he became sin sacrifice. He is touched by the feeling of our families. So when he said, in my name, we can spend a whole year just looking at what did he mean by that? Whatsoever, how do you know whatsoever you ask in my name, how do you know what whatsoever is? You look at what the name represents. That's how you know what you can write in the check, what you can draw from the bank. If you don't know what the realm represents, you will be asking for little things. You'll be beggarly. If only God can do this in this name, you will not be able to use the name the way it's meant to be used. And yet there's tremendous power. God says, the exceeding greatness of his power towards us, which God wrought when he raised him from the dead. The same power he used to throw off principalities and powers from himself. And he ascended as in power. And he called the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. And that power is stored up in that name. Hallelujah. Stored up in that name. So all the three avenues for a man obtaining a name, Jesus accomplished his name through all three avenues. Men receive a name by inheritance or by birth. Men inherit a great name by inheritance or by birth, which is that men are born unto a great name. Like it or not, the son of Bill Gates is already great. Because his father is already great by name. So he didn't do anything, just woke up to discover that this is his father. That's by inheritance. And that's what Hebrews 1 was telling us. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That means by birth, he got the name. Ephesians 1 that we just read is speaking to us about another dimension in which he obtained the name. He got it by conquest. Colossians 2. Are you there? Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He spoiled principalities and powers. That's what the Bible says. He spoiled principalities and powers. Look at verse 9. For in him, say him, dwelleth the fullness of the word, Godhead. So all the Godhead finds expression in who? In Christ Jesus. So when you mention the name, what are you mentioning? The name of the whole of the Godhead. That's what it means. In him dwelleth the fullness of Godhead bodily. And you, you are complete in him. Listen carefully. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead. Then now says you, the new creation, you are complete in who? What does that mean by extension? You are complete in the Godhead. Okay. How should I say it now? You are complete in the Godhead. Using the name should be as quick in result as saying that if I kneel down in that corner and I pray about this situation, it's going to turn around in 24 hours. You are that confident. It says, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead body. And then you are now complete in him, who is the head. So you share headship over principalities and powers. Listen carefully. If you understand this thing that I'm teaching tonight about the name, you will not hope that demons will submit. You will know. Okay, let me ask you a question. How many of you have seen a rat before? And when you saw the rat said, what is it? Yes. You have seen that kind of rat before? I'm sorry, you come to church to give testimony. Come and say one demonic. And you saw the rat and the rat said, studio. I said, yes. What is it? What do you want to do? What's there? You've seen that kind of rat before? No. It is natural. That when you come in at a time when they are not expecting, what do? They take off. Your very presence. In you dwells also the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That was the understanding. We thought it was a strange anointing. We didn't know that they had revelation. I heard about Pastor W.F. Kumi, one of God's generals. He was living in a crusade ground. They brought a man completely deranged through the operation of demons. And he was already in the car going. And you know, there is what we expect. And there's what the man of God knows. There's a difference. So you're like, if you can get him close to the car, and if man can just wind down and say, in the name of Jesus. The man was sitting in the back seat, so they brought him close to the window where the man was. And the man looked at him, and the man I said, leave him and command the driver door without waiting for the results. And the guy became well instantly. He didn't check. If you pour water out of a cup, do you check the cup of water is inside? What do you expect to happen to the water? It has gone. You don't doubt the water will leave the cup. Why should you doubt demons will go? when they have been stripped of all authority and power. You are complete in him who is the head. You share headship with him. Here is something worse. He is no longer even physically here. So he's completely depending on you to exercise that headship. He can only exercise it through you. And what he does. That means if you don't exercise, the power is not exercised. So Paul's prayer, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know. The next time you want to pray, whether it's a visa, whether it's a job, whether it's a contract, before you pray, realize whatsoever I ask in the name, if doors are shut, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. The one who just arrived from conquest. The one who is risen and you rose with him. So the gates open for more than one person, for him and for you also. Because you are the custodian of that name. So I'm saying that in that name, we move beyond hope to certainty. We're not hoping it will work. We know it has worked. The proof that it has worked, that you and I are new creations now. That's the proof that it has worked. We're indwelled by his spirit. And the spirit communicates to us all the majesty and the glory in that name. Hallelujah. We'll stop using like a guess game. Let's try, shall? Have you tried the name of Jesus? Oh, yeah, sing small. Have you sung? Pray in tongues a little bit. Have you prayed in tongues? Go and give offering. Go and give offering. It will answer to offering. Guess game. Guess game. The name is more than enough. So when you say in the name of Jesus now, Roy, Rafa, Shikenu, Shalom, Shama, they're all there. You have a greater revelation than Moses ever had. With Lord Adonai, only one dimension. Look at what Moses did for 40 years. Think about it. He never had the name of Jesus. He had only one character, one side. You have the name. Do you notice nobody cast out devils until Jesus came? He now said, that demon casting out is small. Because when I return, we're not dealing with casting out now. We're dealing with mastery. You will cough, they will dance. You will speak, they will scream. You will arrive, they will disappear. Because in you dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In that name, the name of the new creation. So when we pray tonight, I want you to realize we're praying that name. When we're praying for altars for ministers, we're saying that the will of God, the mystery of the gospel through the ministers should become fluid like water. With simplicity, with power, they will give bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus. We're saying that projects that men have embarked upon in this dark, insane world, that those projects, that they should begin to experience prosperity, because it's God's witness that I wish above all things that you will prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. It is God's will that you will never be at the mercy of the beggarly elements of this world, but you'll be a master above it all. He died. If those things are not done, Jesus died in vain. And we know he didn't die in vain. Said greater works. Said greater works. Said greater works. Only a crazy man or a man full of revelation will do what Paul and Silas did in prison. Feet in stocks, leg in stocks. Sorry, feet in stocks, hands in stocks. Backs bleeding. The natural thing to do is say that, okay, you told us to come here. Maybe we missed the leading. Is this why you asked us to come so that we can come here to suffer? But to sing and praise when you are in dire straits can only mean one thing. There's a revelation that's greater than the situation. There's an understanding that surpasses the challenge. They knew that in the name, the prayer was short, the praise was long. The prayer was short, the praise was long. Every time I read Philippians 4:6, what comes to my heart is, there's a Yoruba proverb that says that the one that promises to give you a change of clothing, you first look at what he's wearing to have an idea of the quality we give you. So when he tells you Becky, be careful for nothing. That word only makes sense when you know who is saying it. The president of Nigeria can say, be careful for nothing. All he has are the resources of Nigeria. When Jesus says, Becky, be careful. You feel like saying, Jesus, you don't understand. Friday, they are coming for rent. I said, Becky, I said, be careful for nothing. He said, you don't understand. The debt collector is going to come. I said, I told you, be careful for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. You know what it means, make known? Don't labor over the request. Don't make it known. Focus on prayer and thanksgiving. Focus more on thanksgiving. Say, and the peace of God, or the answer, will keep your heart and mind. What was he telling you? You don't understand. You are a made man in Christ Jesus. You are not beggarly. You have received already. You are one with the answer. Hallelujah. That's what the name means, though. That's what the name means. I trust God by the end of this series that you will no longer see that J-E-S-U-S. No, no. So that when you speak, whether it's by making a demand or you are praying in the name, the kind of results that will be manifest will be so different. We will see staggering miracles this season. Staggering miracles. Stroka la friste kelido kushta garye. Egiko ngrasta besubro kutaye. Eke gelo ngongrastika sitelia. Eno shugratia gesuko bikelia. Akusugurityga atalo. Luka fretine shia. Ri isobro bakali. Reomanse friketiga lashkia. Akuko di a kesike sikeli. Ekati edisha. They are always in attendance. They always give audience whenever the name is being taught, proclaimed, or preached. And so they are here, the angels of the living God, who are sent forth to minister for them who are heirs of salvation. And so as you proclaim the name and you declare the name in prayer and in utterance, oh, they go forth to cause doors to be opened. They go forth to cause provisions to come. They go forth to cause money to come to the end of the day. They go forth to resolve impossible situations. For that name produces the fragrance of favor. Favor to turn around situations and to bring about another result, another outcome, different from the expected outcome. For surely there is an end, and the end is Christ, and the victory is Christ, and the glory is Christ, and the result is Christ himself. And that's the result that belongs to every new creation. For in him, do not wait for the breaking of the new year before you say, this is mine, and that is mine, and that is mine. Is it not written, ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full, that your joy may be full, that your joy may be full. So no longer draw back or hold back from asking, but ask plainly, you shall receive plainly. Ask quickly, and you shall receive joyfully. Ask boldly, and you shall receive very clearly and in clear terms. So we resort flood and come your way like living waters. Go ahead and ask tonight. Go ahead and ask tonight. And let's pray in the spirit. As we release angelic assignments, ele cobro stye, ye shikro brostike levra katiesia, a kike lebongo, lomigre kasibre kitana shteguro, lomigra kata brakatia. Ene bangro supro sifrestike liga e kakubro sifrestike lige ele kado bonda kane yeshe brosta ene mbringro stafrike tiko buru kuba ene genge kile brakasto kosa bragata ele brekasto guru onge tia yeshe broko staka bragato nye magata esikafo surye tia yeshe brongata mie empriye nekola bakite lagaste yeshe broko stange ligata yeshuko ngro falls with ease. We have understanding. We have soundness of mind. In the name of Jesus, Ebro Stakado, Ele Brongastir, Ele Gracosto Cobro Gotai, Ele Mengro Castono, O Brigata, Eleste Brocostiga Legata, Ele Mongo, Ele Mongo, Ele Mongo, Ele Mongo, Ele Mongo. We receive an elevation above every messy situation. In the name of Jesus, we arise in the strength of Jehovah. We overcome every limitation. In the name of Jesus, we soar. With the ability of the Most High, we soar over every limitation. We rise over every limitation. We rise over every injustice. We lay hold on the very best that God has for us. Sheaves in our hands. Ele broke stebre kato. There's clarity and boldness. Ele broke stebre kato. Opportunities. At ele bronca stebre kato. Boldness, boldness. Ebra kato. Ebre kaste kala gatia. Ele mondros da brokipo. Ebre stebre kotali ketiste. Enengonga boro. Ebre kets. We receive favorable outcomes in the name of Jesus. Ebra kopala grastike sebre kato. Ele nengre kestoro. Name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. 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 You know, we can be led specifically sometimes to pray for particular individuals. I don't know the full reason, but I know there are things that this person ought to accomplish and to do shortly. So we're going to pray shortly for Mrs. Fadulu right now. We're going to channel power in that direction in the name of the Lord Jesus. She'll be strengthened by God's spirit in her inner man. Like a cloud, God's favor will rest mightily upon her. Out of her will come creative wisdom and divine ingenuity, and she will give birth and accomplish beyond the circumference and the scope of the work of her hands mighty things this season. Let's begin to pray for her in the name of Jesus. And I want you to pray the same prayer for the Afolamis. I want to pray for the same prayer for the Yebukuris right now. And embo kala presteko galebre ekesukobra kastiketaya. We channel the power of God. Akalo olebra kashteke sumbo ombingras da kasibrokutaya eneka lemokute eseprokutaliata ekanti ekeke sike strength to accomplish, grace to bring forth, ekana kaste loprokatakalite the favor of God. Akalo eleka bekiko sabra kastia ele to group kasike ligratahe yeshiprosta kata and isoku eleprika stangeli gato yoshiprosti frakatomi emosambre etolukuri ekrasa tolugush yeleprako leprokashe elekrasto lekia makrosta kasike tia eka lemo pagastia yelebrunga shebrokusta galo onembrunkraste oleprakaste lenika kalo lobrokaste kesia eno ana emo Bra ati ele kakashteko o kali embra kastoko sibreke ekekelo bakatile le suproto libraka lenika katile keyo yokobra gatele katia esoko brokata anononkobo efritele ni yana kilo Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we receive strength. In the name of Jesus, we bring forth. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we turn the tides. You see, we lamo krastili kashte ke sukuba salabrakosti ke lika kasukoto ke sukori lakatia Yeshu. For often the laughter that comes often in the heart of the saints that finds expression is that which is a testimony of what the mighty one has planned and prepared. And his thoughts are always thought of peace and of evil to give you hope and a future. But then there is the place of boldness in manifesting and giving expression to that which he has planned and prepared. And so, ilano kong lestike seprokuta lesukro. We're going to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, there's marking time in a face such that you are tired. You've been in that face for so long. You sense there's something else, but you don't know what it is. You can't tell what it is. But you have not moved from that face. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You're in the face? It's like I've been in this face for too long. There's something else I'm supposed to have been doing by now, and I'm not just doing that thing. We're going to pray for strength now. Now, God will strengthen every man, every woman here, by spirit in our inner man, to cross that barrier. We'll move to the next phase. You know, you'll be marking time so much at that same phase, and so there's no progress. But that's not the plan of God. Hallelujah. We're going to pray supply of the Spirit, and there will be a push. There will be boldness by the Spirit of God on the inside. There will be strength inside. And then there will be, so to speak, progress on the outside. Let's pray in the Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Astokoria, Akukiliba, the Kesukoriata, Elinon Sakurianta, Enenka, Lamo, Bundi Council, Brody Frastile Giste, a Christo Lugraste Kesukrota, Enian Sukoro, and Embreka, Eleku Grastike Siki Libro, but God will leap over walls, Elamo Gritia, Elaka, Repostake, Elemungra Casti Esorkunte, Engels Krastoko. The supernatural boldness comes alive. Men, women, take advantage of new opportunities. The glory of God is heavy upon us. The strength of Jehovah at work on our inside. It is God that's at work in us both to will and to do. So there's a willing and there's a doing. There's a doing. Helping hand to every man and woman in this assembly. By the supply of God's Spirit, a cardiac strength, a calibre boldness, a linguistic progress on the outside. Lambo creator, we turn the tide. Electric is the stagnation is removed and broken. Delays are removed. Giving praise tonight. Oh, Bakastike Sengro Bracatoliga Tagalaki Kiseke Bracuta Blacasublocula Castike Seto. Oh, we praise you. 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 Blessed be your name. Oh, we exalt you. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we exalt you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for answered prayers. Thank you for your leading tonight. Oh, we magnify your name. Blessed be your name forever. Oh, glory to your name forever. Lift up your hands and bless him. Hallelujah. Man, let's have our seats briefly. Attention to the things that you hear in the spirit in this season. Write those things down. Write them up so that you don't forget them. Whatever you hear in the spirit, pay attention. Write them down. Thank him for it. Thank you for what he has revealed. He reveals his plan so that we can run in the light of it.